Further reading. Sisyphus. Sisyphus was known in Greek mythology as a complicated and crafty figure who was doomed to forever rolling a huge boulder up a steep hill in the underworld. Each time when he was near the top of the hill, the boulder would fall miraculously back of its own weight, forcing Sisyphus to repeat the futile labor endlessly. This eternal task was imposed on him as a punishment for his misdeeds in life, particularly his continual cheating and scorn of the gods. Being the son of the wind god, Aeolus, Sisyphus was the founder and the first king of Epheria, which was said to be the original name of Corinth. He first came to the attention of the gods as being a cruel and ruthless tyrant. Instead of showing hospitality and generosity on his guests, he occasionally broke the Cynia by killing them, and thus making Zeus, the king of gods, who was in charge of maintaining Cynia, very displeased. However, Sisyphus appeared to be a good king who cared about his people and the land. When Aesopus, a river god and son of Poseidon, complained to him about the sudden disappearance of his daughter Aegina, Sisyphus, who knew the girl had been abducted by Zeus, promised to tell him about it on the condition that an eternal spring for his city was created. To the celestial thunderbolts, he preferred the benediction of water. Incensed by such bold revelation of the divine secrets, Zeus ordered Thanatos, the god of death, to bring Sisyphus to Hades. When he was confronted by Thanatos, Sisyphus pretended to have great interest in the chain Thanatos held in hand, and asked him how it worked. Thanatos, unaware of the artifice, was then tricked into demonstrating the use of it by trapping himself in his own chain. So it turned out that the god of death was kept locked up in a closet at Sisyphus's house for many a day. Now with death being a prisoner of Sisyphus, no one on earth would die. Even a soldier being chopped to bits in battle could still show up later at a camp for dinner. In the end, Ares, the god of war, found it so unbearable that he had to intervene. So death was liberated. Then he would go on to complete his mission by fetching Sisyphus. But once again, the wily mortal king had another trick up his sleeve. Knowing that he would not be able to keep Thanatos for long, Sisyphus instructed his wife, Merope, to leave his corpse unburied and forego the necessary funerary rites. Once in the land of the dead, Sisyphus approached Persephone, the queen of the dead, and complained to her about what his wife had done to his body. He requested to be sent back to the realm of the living so that he could punish his wife. The request was granted. Having returned to the mortal world, Sisyphus no longer wanted to go back to the infernal darkness. Recalls, signs of anger, warnings were of no avail. Many years more he lived, facing the curve of the gulf, the sparkling sea, and the smiles of the earth. A decree of the gods was necessary. Hermes came and seized the impudent man by the collar, and, snatching him from his joys, led him forcibly back to the underworld, where his rock was ready for him. The gods had the last laugh indeed, yet, to some extent, Sisyphus was a hero. An absurd hero, though. His scorn of the gods, his hatred of death, and his passion for life won him that unspeakable penalty in which the whole being was exerted towards accomplishing nothing. The torture was the price that must be paid for the passion of this earth. But the myth was tragic only at rare moments, because there is no fate that cannot be surmounted by scorn.